It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King, Pagese.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson to the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody. Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us throughout the course of the program today. Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us. Going to be another abbreviated program on the airwaves today. We'll be checking out at 11 for a staff meeting from 11 to 12. So if you want to get in with us, get in those first 2 hours at 654-ROAR. A lot to discuss. We're going to be having Chapel Fowler from the state joining us at 9:20. At 10:05, we're going to have Landon Walker, former Clemson offensive lineman. Both guests today will be talking Clemson football, obviously. We got to ask Landon what in the world went wrong in the first half against Troy this past weekend, and then what were the adjustments that were made in that second half? And I want to ask Chapel about the latest in his world on the beat with a chaotic week here in Tigertown. But John, we'll bring you in on that note. Tuesday, not a whole lot going on in the sports world, but we've got a really electric slate this upcoming weekend, starting tomorrow night with a battle between the Wolfpack and the Demon Deacons.
And this battle with the NC State Wolfpack actually counts in the ACC standings, unlike their win against Virginia. Do we want to talk about how our baseball teams both lost another game and we are rapidly fighting for the same record here?
We're playing baseball still? Oh, really? Really?
It's more of I'm just monitoring the records to see who finishes with a better record this season. Right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates are at 64-81, and the Braves are at 65-80. So we are very, very close. This is a neck-and-neck race down to the end here.
Can you imagine if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year with the conversations, the expectations?
Dude, I was saying this in July. Like, if you would have told me this was the case, like, I would have thought the Pirates are in the playoffs.
I thought we were going to be in the hunt this year. I thought the Braves were going to find a way to at least turn it around at some point, and then the whole starting rotation just continued to get injured. Strider not being who he used to be hasn't helped. That's been a little bit of insult to injury on top of it. It just has not been a good year.
How quickly can he grow the mustache back?
I don't know, but it needs to come back. I'm not a big fan of babyface Strider, I got to say. We need the mustache back for Spencer, so hopefully he can figure out a way to make that work. 654-ROAR, so if you'd like to check in.
Looking forward to both of our guests that we have here this morning. Like you said, Chapel Fowler in the next segment from the state paper, and then former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker is going to join us at the top of the second hour. One of the things I'm very much looking forward to asking Landon, you know, I talked about it on Monday's show, how he and I were texting in real time during the game on Saturday evening, and just kind of like the shock factor of what we saw in the first half. And I opened the show with Monday saying that that was the worst half of Clemson football I have ever seen since I came here as a student in the fall of 2007. Mm-hmm. That was the same semester in which Landon entered campus, and I'm curious to see if he would agree with that sentiment, because it was bad. It was bad. I think we have documented that very well over the last couple of shows.
Well, and the crazy thing, too, is one of the main topics of discussion last week with Landon was them trailing Troy at half in 2011, and then lo and behold, you know, I'm sitting in the press box on Saturday afternoon, and I'm just like, ha-ha, like, is this a joke? I know we talked about it with Landon on Wednesday, but this did not need to come to fruition in real time in 2025.
Like, it was funny the first time.
Yes.
It was sort of comical the second time. The third time, it's lost its humor.
Can we buy them out of the game in 2027 or whenever it is? Can we buy Troy out? I'm sick of playing him. I don't want to see the Trojan
respectfully,
logo.
Respectfully, I'm tired of playing
him. And I don't want to play Lincoln Riley. I don't want to play anything to do with the state of Alabama. I don't want anything to do with Trojans in general. We're checked out on Troy. Buy him out of the game. Go full-blown Lane Kiffin Wake Forest and just say, here's your check. We don't want to play you. I would be more than happy to do that at this point. So hopefully we can get Troy off the schedule. But in all seriousness, going forward, that is an opponent that obviously deserves respect. They're clearly not, you know, afraid of the moment. And I'm interested to ask Landon what the difference is between playing a rollover opponent and playing a non-rollover opponent at the lower ranks is.
Right.
Because Troy, you know, traditionally, they beat LSU on their home field back in like 2017, I think it was. This is one of those mid-majors that's always going to give you a scrap, and I'm interested to hear what Landon has to say about that. So, seriously, though, Graham Neff, if you're listening, buy him out. There's just no reason. Go schedule Furman. No disrespect to the people at Furman. We love them. I would love to play Coach Hendricks instead of Troy.
You know, I will... I'm going to pause on agreeing or disagreeing with that take until after the game is over in late November against Furman, because, you know, they're on the schedule. Maybe pick somebody else as your example who's not on the schedule.
They did have Ryan Miller march into Death Valley, what was that, 3 years ago, and have 13 grabs at tight end?
But then again, they did just lose to non-scholarship PC over the weekend.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that is true.
Shout out to PC, though. Yep. Great start to the season for them.
PC's taking down two SoCon opponents to start the year. Pioneer League non-scholarship, still getting the job done. So shout out to those guys for sure. But John, you know, we were talking about something kind of before the show about this Friday slate of games and how it just might be the worst collection and run of games possible as far as intrigue and quality
goes. I think ESPN, did ESPN hire Daniel in Texas?
They might have.
Because all of these games have cover your eyes potential.
This is just going to be horrible.
And we'll spend time, whether today or tomorrow, we will talk about the ACC showdown tomorrow night in Winston-Salem, where Faxon's Wake Forest Demon Deacons take on everybody's NC State Wolfpack.
We just need three more wins, John. We just need three.
Stop wasting people's time with Wake Forest win total. But we have Indiana State as your first game. You have Colgate and Syracuse, which I'm actually going to be tuning into the beginning of this one, because I want to see how Syracuse responds with having to run sprints at the end of their overtime win against UConn. We have Colorado and whatever quarterback they decide to trot out at kickoff at Houston. Kansas State and Arizona. Listen, before the season, I would have found intrigue with that one. The way Kansas State is playing, gross.
They've been terrible.
They're awful. They are still hungover from all the Guinness consumed over there in Ireland. And then we have quite possibly, I think that could be the worst game of the entire weekend, New Mexico and UCLA. Because if UCLA doesn't win, they're a 16.5-point favorite. One, take New Mexico to cover that number. I don't know if UCLA can score 17 points. But if they don't win this one, they may go 0-for on the year.
Yeah, UCLA.
It's a gross slate. I mean, I think Colorado and Houston will end up being a good, entertaining football game. I like the coaching matchup of Deion Sanders versus Willie Fritz. Like, I think you're going to see some good back-and-forth chess match stuff with in this game. But in terms of, like, at least the later three games, what we would have thought preseason versus now,
yeah, not great. For UCLA as well, like, this is the thing for me in that night slate. If you're only putting up 10 on Utah and you're only getting to 23 on UNLV, what's going to happen when you have to play at Indiana, Nebraska, and at Ohio State in a three-week span?
That's my point.
They also have Penn State.
You
USC.
Have to a Friday night 10 o'clock Eastern kick between New Mexico and UCLA is a must-win game.
It is a must-win game. And
or Deshaun Foster may not see November.
Nico has under 400 yards, two touchdowns, two picks through two games as the QB for the Bruins. Just not a good player. Like, it's really just as simple as that right now. He's talented, but it's never... It's Malachi Nelson 2.0 is what it
reminds
me of.
He's athletically gifted, but he is not a good quarterback. If anything, I think Tennessee fans have the opportunity to have a great weekend ahead of them. You get to hate watch Nico late Friday night and then come out and host the dog Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
You have the potential for a great weekend in Knoxville.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this because I was listening to Mickey Plyler on the way in, and he does Dane Young, who's his UGA Rivals guest on Wednesday mornings, and I got in with a couple questions on the text line for Dane because I see UGA is only a 3.5-point favorite at Tennessee, and I'm going, the alarm bells are going off in my head going, wait, what? Only 3.5? Kirby's won 8 in a row over Tennessee. All 8 have been in blowout fashion, but there's some concerns right now in Athens with some injuries to the offensive line and really an inability to spark together a consistent passing game through 2 games.
There are. That was a fairly easy pick for me.
You took the dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, because I think part of the reason, and I've caught myself doing this week when, you know, trying to analyze this game. Part of the reason why I guess I'm optimistic about Tennessee is because they played Syracuse first and not the big blowout game next. Because we didn't have the data point of Syracuse having to go to overtime to beat UConn at home.
Right.
I think we may be overvaluing Tennessee a bit much here. I think Georgia kind of just sat back last week, took things easy against Austin Peay. You had the weather delay like everybody else did. I think Kirby knew if he really had to turn it on, he could have. Was very much trying to be vanilla as possible for the first 2 weeks of the season, which, hey, with Mike Bobo as your offensive coordinator, it's really easy to go vanilla.
You just call it like a normal game.
I think they come out in here, and I think this is the game that exposes Joey Aguilar at this level. I think Kirby Smart and this defense are good enough, talented enough to expose some of his stuff here as these receivers are trying to gangster. Like, I still think Tennessee is a 8-4, potentially 9-3 type team. I just still believe Georgia to be the best team in the league.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with your assessment for a multitude of reasons, but I think the main thing is, again, playing Syracuse is one thing, playing blue chip caliber talent with the best defensive coach and best defensive coordinator arguably in the country, and Georgia's defense, which is notorious for being, you know, for lack of a better term, dogs up front. And then you also have to account for the fact that Tennessee's got 2 of their starting offensive linemen down, and Aguilar's never seen these type of stunts and exotic blitzes and pressures.
And don't they have 2 members of their secondary who are two starters of the secondary that are going to be out? Yep. We have done this the last couple of times under the Heupel era in Tennessee. When Georgia has come to town, because Tennessee, to their credit, has been able to take down Alabama at home, has been able to notch some really big-time wins. But it hasn't come close against the dogs. If Tennessee covers this number, they win this thing outright, I will happily be proven wrong. Because unlike you, being the darn good dog that you are, Faxon, from the greater Atlanta area, I am not a Georgia fan. So we'll be happy to see the wrong shade of orange parade around and enjoy themselves Saturday evening in Knoxville. But until Josh Heupel comes close with Kirby, then this is just one of those, I'm giving it to Kirby until proven otherwise.
Same here. I think this is roll the ball out, and this is Kirby over Heupel all day. And I always wonder when we do the Georgia bit, like if there is somebody listening for the first time, I hope everybody does know I'm not a Georgia fan. I do think Georgia's going to win this game. These are the scores in the 4 matchups between Kirby Smart and Josh Heupel thus far. 41-17, Georgia over Tennessee in Knoxville. 27-13 over Tennessee in Athens. And if you remember,
that close.
And that was when Tennessee was number one, but they were underdogs. And remember, Stetson got his phone number leaked in the middle of the night, and then he scored the touchdown and threw up the cell phone thing into the camera. That was a classic. I think that was on the same day as Clemson, Florida State 2022, if I'm not mistaken, in Tallahassee. And then 38-10 in 2023. Again, Georgia marches into Knoxville and whoops that Voltaire. 31-17 last year. There has not been a game within 14 points between Kirby Smart and Josh Heupel thus far. So when I see 3.5, I know that the public is likely to be all over that since it's been bet down from 7.5 to 3.5. But I can't sit here and act like there's any level of confidence in Tennessee football for me going up against that team, going up against that coach, going up against that talent level, especially with the App State quarterback trying to make the transition to SEC play. Here's your first test. It's Georgia. Good luck. This is going to be an ugly one. I don't think either team is going to light up the scoreboard. And I tend to believe that both defenses are pretty darn good, but I just can't in good conscience pick against Kirby Smart in this spot. And I do think Bobo's been kind of sitting on some things offensively as well. I'd expect Gunner to have a pretty good day.
Did you hear that, folks? Faxon said darn good, and he tells you he's not a Georgia fan?
Ain't nothing finer in the land, John. Ain't nothing finer in the land. On that note, we will take a quick break here on the program. We're going to have Chapel Fowler from the state joining us on the other side of a quick break to talk some Clemson-Troy recap, some Clemson GT preview. He'll be down in the great Atlanta, Georgia this upcoming weekend at Bobby Dodd Stadium for the whiteout. So stay tuned to hear some discourse from Chapel on Clemson football right after this.
Have you heard the phrase, the calm before the storm? Well, that mold in your bathroom or ceiling stains might be a warning sign of roof damage that could cause bigger, costly issues in the future. Give yourself peace of mind knowing your roof's got you covered with the best protection throughout all of the seasons. Don't ignore it any longer. Fix it with one simple call today. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists, 260-0080. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialist, 260-0080.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
Looking to refresh your home without breaking the bank? At Linden Floors, we've got you covered, literally. We're a local, family-owned business that's been bringing beauty and durability to homes across the upstate. Right now, grab our luxury vinyl flooring for just $1.99 a square foot. Yep, you heard that right. Whether you're remodeling or just sprucing things up, trust the team that treats you like family, Linden Floors. Call us at 864-494-4317 or stop by today at 101 Chester Street, Spartanburg, and step into something better. Linden Floors, where design meets durability.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at BLOCHAVEN.com.
What would you do if you had a little bit more money to do it?
I'd go to law school.
I'd open a bakery.
I'd travel to visit my grandparents I haven't seen in 10 years.
We all have things we want to do in life, and there are people who want to help you do them. So how do we best ask for that help? GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the number one fundraising platform. 200 million people have used GoFundMe to support people doing things like furthering their education, starting a small business, or bringing people together in support of a cause. No matter what your goals are, GoFundMe helps you take an important step toward them. GoFundMe is free to set up and manage, easy to use, and designed to help you reach your goals.
The community was so supportive in helping me finally open my bakery. Now every day I wake up and get to do what I love. And it all started with GoFundMe.
What would you do if you had the money to do it?
Get started today with GoFundMe.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power. GoFundMe.com/power.
This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe with actors voicing experiences inspired by our users.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute. Bring in the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. From Jive Talking to Staying Alive, this high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
Got a Tiger at Clemson? Make visits easier and invest in your future with a new home at Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus. This family-owned builder offers spacious, personalized homes starting in the low 400s with quick move-ins available. Build from the ground up and design your dream space or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home today. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Your Clemson connection starts at Sunrise.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Hite continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in, as we're going to head to the guest lines. Very special guest joining the program, and Jory Palmer, Atlanta Braves Director of Marketing and Advertising. Jory, thank you so much for joining the program this morning.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We're really excited to have you. So first thing I'm going to have you do, Jory, is just kind of explain your role within the organization of the Atlanta Braves to our audience, because you got a pretty cool job.
I do, yes. I have been very blessed. This is my eighth season with the Atlanta Braves, and in my role, I'm the director of marketing. So my team, we really are in charge of all of our advertising that you see. So when you're in town and you see billboards running, or if you know you guys are up there and you see Facebook ads and YouTube ads, we do that. We also run our Braves Country Road Trip, which travels all around the Southeast, you know, going to different sporting events and festivals. And we get to do some really fun stuff like promotions and giveaways. So always brainstorming, you know, what could be a really cool bobblehead or thing that our fans want at the gate. So yeah, it is a fun job.
Talk a little bit about fan reception this season. You know, obviously, even win or lose for the Atlanta Braves, it feels like the game day experience has been enhanced so much over the last 5 years or so. How much pride do you guys take in that element of a game day experience at Truist?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of why we had this vision to build the Battery Atlanta. I mean, like you said, from the moment you park and you get out of your car, you can feel the energy just walking around. There's so many great bars and restaurants and shops. We've got fantastic pregame entertainment in our plaza with our pregame show. We've got live music a lot of times, bloopers roaming around, the Home Depot tools. We play games with fans. And then, of course, you know, once you get into the stadium, no matter what's going on with the game, you've got really fun entertainment in between innings, getting to watch someone try and beat the freeze or watch the tools race around, the kiss cam. So we really pride ourselves on, you know, we obviously can't control the outcome of the game, but we want you to feel like you got a really good value for, you know, what you spent to come out and the time that you spent, and just want everybody to have a great time.
Of course, as we continue to visit with Jory Palmer, Atlanta Braves Director of Marketing and Advertising. Well, Jory, we're up here in Clemson, South Carolina, and a lot of Clemson fans are going to be taking the trip down to Atlanta this upcoming weekend as Clemson's facing off on the gridiron against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. But how can Clemson fans get involved with the Atlanta Braves during Fan Appreciation Month and the month of September?
Yeah, so obviously Clemson, Greenville, upstate South Carolina is an incredibly important part of Braves country. Our fans are coming, you know, all throughout the season. But as you mentioned, this is going to be a really exciting weekend for Clemson fans with the matchup against Georgia Tech, which I think is going to be a fantastic game. And so we decided to do our kind of own edition of some Friday Night Lights Braves style. So we want all Clemson fans who are coming in town, Georgia Tech fans, to come on out to our game on Friday. We'll start a three-game set with the Houston Astros, which is always a great opponent and a lot of fun. So we've got tickets as low as $17. So, you know, for $17, you can come in Friday night, enjoy some Braves baseball, and then get up early and start your tailgating on Saturday.
That sounds like a great plan to me for the weekend. And we mentioned September being Fan Appreciation Month. All month long, you guys are going to have ticket deals, retail deals, food and beverage specials, and more. Can you walk us through a little bit what that looks like down in Braves country?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are wrapping up our Oktoberfest party tonight against the Cubs. So we've had a lot of fun with that. Like I mentioned, you know, tickets as low as $17 on Friday. We've got a really fun kids club day this coming Sunday, the 14th. If anyone's hanging around, we'll have some of our FanDuel Sports Network talent doing a Q&A with a Braves player out in our kids zone. We'll have a free kids giveaway. And then when the Washington Nationals come to town the following week, you know, we've got tickets as low as $7. We've got pregame parades where you can go on the warning track, walk around the field, and the players are actually going to hop out of the dugout and give high fives. So that's really cool. We've got really great deals on our merchandise, like you said, across all of our retail stores. So really great time to stock up on all the Braves gear that you need. Go ahead and do a little early Christmas shopping if you want. Great retail deals. Really, I mean, there's something for everyone, which is kind of what we wanted to do, and showing our fans how much we appreciate them. They are the lifeblood of what we do. So we wanted to make September really fun, really special with all sorts of experiences and giveaways. And all of that is at braves.com/promos. So you can even break it down day by day, game by game, and kind of see what all of those cool elements are for each game.
Well, Jory, we really appreciate the time here today on the show. We appreciate all the information. I know I'm a diehard Atlanta Braves fan myself, have been my whole life as a Metro Atlanta native, and we're just appreciative of this relationship here with you guys affiliated with us at The Roar, and we're excited to send some Clemson fans your way this weekend.
I know. We're excited to have Clemson fans come to town. So, fun fact, my brother-in-law, Michael Palmer, was a tight end for the Tigers, so they're kind of my second favorite team behind the Bulldogs. So I myself will be pulling for the Tigers. And we're just excited to welcome everybody down.
You better be rooting for the Tigers with a family member wearing orange and then the Bulldog degree against Georgia Tech. We're supposed to both hate those guys. So, Jory, we're on the same team this weekend.
Exactly.
I can guarantee you that.
Exactly. But yeah, thank you so much for the time today, guys.
Of course. Thank you so much, Jory. That is Atlanta Braves Director of Marketing and Advertising, Jory Palmer, doing a great job on the program and a great job everything related to Braves. Excited that the Braves were able to you know, arrange that for us, John, with the chance to speak with Jory about all the great things they're doing in the marketing and advertising department as the season unwinds. Obviously, hasn't been the best season as far as wins and losses goes with a lot of brutal injury luck, but it's paved the way for some great deals to get in the ballpark at the end of the season if you want to look on the positive side of things. So excited for a lot of Clemson fans to be down in Atlanta this weekend and checking out the Atlanta Braves.
No, absolutely. I think if you have the opportunity to go down and check out a Clemson game in Atlanta, I mean, I think one of the first things when Clemson fans see the schedule, right, is the road trip to Georgia Tech, does it coincide with a Braves home series? And luckily enough, it does with the Houston Astros this weekend.
Yeah. Sadly for the Braves, Jorge Soler no longer on the team, and this is not 2021. But
hey,
happily for the Braves, you could still get three wins this weekend against the Astros.
You can, and you know, you could go down, catch the Friday night affair. You could see Hurston Waldrop pitch. Seeing right now tickets as low as $8 and spend the night in a hotel and go catch the noon kickoff or make a full day of it. And because there's a 7:15 first pitch Saturday night where your boy Wentz will be throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Where tickets as low as $9 can get you into the ballpark. So, you know, I think there's a great opportunity if you're a Braves fan. Listen, as someone who's seen his team make the playoffs like twice in my lifetime, like at the end, when you're in the ballpark, like I feel like it's one of the things about baseball specifically, it doesn't matter what the records are. Like when you're at the game, you're just enjoying nine innings of baseball.
Get yourself a beverage, get yourself a hot dog, you're chilling with your friends, you're chilling with your family, whoever it
may be.
You're
in beautiful Truist Park. I mean, the weather's been great lately. Like, there's
a
lot worse ways to spend a Friday or Saturday night, let me tell you.
Absolutely. And another part of that, too, is just like the Battery creates that game day experience and feel regardless of what's going on the diamond. If you want to leave in the sixth inning and you want to go out to the bars, you want to go out to the restaurants, you want to have a good time with your friends, or maybe you want to watch the college football games on Saturday, you can be in the Battery, you can be at the ballpark while watching the college football games as well.
I mean, listen, Friday night, you can watch the Braves create an offensive explosion against the Houston Astros and walk out of there with 10 o'clock. Then UCLA football starts. More offensive explosions. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just points galore by everybody.
Points galore by everybody. But in all seriousness, thank you so much to Jory Palmer and the great folks at the Atlanta Braves for helping arrange that interview today. Director of Marketing and Advertising, they do such a phenomenal job in that element of the game for the Braves. So excited to see how we can continue to grow down in Atlanta.
And a relative of Michael Palmer is always welcome on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
That guy is about as underrated as it comes for players in the Dabo Swinney era.
He was an absolute animal. He was an absolute animal for sure. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and text lines are open. We'd love for you to join us. A couple texters are getting in on the Georgia minus 3.5 thing, and a couple other texters are getting in on State Wake. Are we going to have Chapel Fowler in the upcoming segment now,
yes,
John?
Yes, we'll have Chapel in the next segment. Okay. Yes, that is correct.
So we've got him at 9:40 now. So let's set the plate a little bit for Chapel, and we can take a quick and an early break here. I obviously am in preview mode more than review mode at this point in the week. Wednesday is when that kind of flips for me. So I do want to ask Chapel a couple things about Troy to tie the knot there, but I want to shift this more with Chapel just strictly about GT previewing the matchup. And obviously, with all of his experiences on the beat and going to North Carolina, he's seen a lot of GT athletics. He knows what it's like covering a game down there. And more importantly, Chapel knows how big of a game this is for Georgia Tech.
Oh, it's a massive game for the Jackets, and you could tell by the way they carried themselves yesterday with their media availability. I mean, Brent Key had, what, a 19-minute press conference?
Yeah, he was in and out of there quicker than you can imagine. He wasn't even given more than three words on the majority of answers, Sean.
So, I mean, the way their demeanor is, the way they're carrying themselves for this week, yeah, no, it's a massive game. Because as much as Clemson fans feel like the program is down from where you want it to be, a win over Clemson carries an extreme amount of weight still. And I think Brent Key knows what this would do for the momentum of his program if he was able to, at home, take down Clemson. It would be, because it's always been like, oh, they can punch and contend with you know, the best of them, but can they take him down? Like, he's been in some close games. He's had some upsets, but like, he has yet to really deliver the true knockout punch to one of the biggest coaches in the sport.
Yeah, and
this would be massive for Georgia Tech to get this win.
And you also look back to last year, right? And like, you look at Brent Key's career at GT, and obviously we had Brent Key on our hotkeys. Like, that's how much we respect this guy around here on this show. He's beaten a lot of the top 10, top 25 ACC teams that aren't Clemson, right? And he also has taken down some top dogs throughout the course of college football that haven't necessarily been Georgia either. That's the biggest critique right now, if you want to talk about big games for GT, is, yeah, they went on the road a couple years ago and beat a top 10 North Carolina team in their place with Drake May. And, you know, they've taken down top 25 opponents. They took down a top 5 opponent in Miami on their own home field last year, right? But Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart have still had Brent Key's number to date. And those two programs are an extended winning streaks against Georgia Tech that they're going to try and turn around. If you don't think that's been plastered everywhere in the facility this week in Atlanta, let me just tell you right now, you're wrong. You're wrong. They know how many games they've lost in a row to Clemson. They know what a big deal this would be for their fan base, for their perception, for their program, for their college football playoff hopes, which is what the expectations are in Atlanta this year. This is a big-time heavyweight matchup coming your way from Bobby Dobbs Stadium on Saturday. And I'm just excited to spot the ball, John. I'm ready to get out there and play. Brent Key's mean mugging during the press conference and saying three words. Sweeney's taking a little bit different of a demeanor. It's everything that's great about this sport coming to fruition on Saturday in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm excited to just spot the ball. I want to fast forward now. On that note, we'll take a quick break on the program. We'll be joined by Chapel Fowler from the state on the other side and be talking some Clemson and Georgia Tech game preview, what to expect, latest on Clemson injuries, and more right here on The Roar.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
When making decisions, it's important to take a long view and consider how our choices will affect us for generations to come. Longview Carolina is a gated community that emphasizes that long view, with on-site gardens, miles of trails, mature forests, open meadows, and gathering spaces with 50-mile views, all designed to spark true community. Go to contact at longviewcarolina.com to schedule your private tour today. Longview Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
Experience exceptional service with Golf Cart Service, your trusted family-owned club car dealer for 55 years. We keep over 35 upstate golf courses running smoothly with our fully stocked mobile service truck. Whether you're purchasing new, used, or reconditioned carts, we offer flexible financing. Choose Club Car, proudly American-made since 1958, and avoid tariffs. Visit golfcartsc.com to explore our inventory, conveniently located at Highway 221 and Highway 295 in Spartanburg. Call us at 864-574-4616 today.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Fall is here and so is football season. Score big with Harmon Lumber for your next remodel project or custom build. We offer a full service of installed products such as cabinets, screen porches and railings, garage doors, and bath hardware. Give us a call and find us on the web at harbinlumber.com. We love the opportunity to help you achieve your dreams that you want for your home. Visit harbinlumber.com or call us at 706-356-356. 4300 and let us show you how we can help you with your vision. And go Tigers!
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. At Ingles, we know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature, memorable moments with than family. Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join us this Friday night for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This Friday night takes us to Pendleton High School, where the Bulldogs face off with the Powdersville Patriots in what's become a fun, heated rivalry over the past few years. Join us every Friday night this fall, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
It's the final segment of hour number one here on a Wednesday with Faxon Childress and John Hite on 105.5 at 97.5 The Roar. You're listening to Facts on Sports. We're going to hop to the guest lines now. It's Chapel Fowler at Chapel Fowler on Twitter. Clemson beat writer for the state newspaper. Chapel, sorry about the delay once again, brother, and we appreciate you taking some time to join the program.
Yeah, it's all good, guys. Appreciate you having me. We had our own version of the Clemson-Troy weather delay, I guess, in a very minor way.
Yes, absolutely. We had a little lightning delay. Hopefully this won't keep everybody on the airwaves until, 10:30 p.m. We can let you out of here at the top of the hour. But in all seriousness, Chapel, let's just run through before we shift gears to preview mode, since we're at that midway point in the week. Troy, what in the world? Talk to me about your perspective on things, especially in that crazy first half.
Yeah. Speaking of that weather delay, I was thinking, was there any worse way for that game to start? For kickoff to happen, busted coverage, Troy gets a touchdown, Clemson offense immediately goes three and out, ball gets punted back to Troy, and then boom, 90-minute lightning delay. The fact that Clemson was trailing Troy at halftime, they were the butt of the joke in the afternoon slate enough for that. The amount of time they spent trailing a group of five opponent between all that through the first half and that long weather delay, that was 3 hours losing to Troy, which is just not what the number eight team in the country at that time was expecting to do and what anybody expected them to do. Credit to them for a roaring comeback in the second half. That was about how a team of that level with that talent level should play against a G5 team. And I think you saw them really, flick it on and just tear them up and, interception, touchdown, and get ahead. And then suddenly the game not as much in doubt. But a pretty brutal first half, but totally deserved at the same time with some of the errors they were making. So I think it's kind of a picture of where they are right now.
Chapel, you had just mentioned being the butt of the joke in the afternoon slate, and they most certainly were until Florida got going. But what, when you talk to the players and some of the coaches, when you've been around in the post game and then some of the media availability over the course of this week, do you see guys really take some of that personally? Some of the just absolutely horrendous performance they put on display in the first half of that game? Do we feel like that this team really has been motivated by that, I guess, is my question.
Do we lose Chapel? Might have lost him.
We got you now, Chapel. On my end. Okay, yeah, there you go. Did you get me on any of that answer at all, or?
No, I'll have John re-ask for you, and then we can roll it from there.
Well, no, you had said they were just the butt of the joke in the afternoon slate, and so I was curious, in some of your post-game meeting with players and coaches and over the media availability the last couple of days, have you seen guys really take that poor performance personally and use it as a motivating factor to try to prove that this is not who this team is?
We we might be having some issues with Chapel tech-wise. I'm going to have John check in on that. But, yeah, that's definitely something that's been acknowledged throughout the course of this past week and getting ready for Georgia Tech game prep and everything along those lines. You know, Clemson's got to find a way to harness the negative attention in the media right now for good and to channel that into something that's positive and turn that into something good for the Tigers. So, you know, I'm excited to see how this group responds to the challenge this upcoming weekend. It'll be intriguing to see, you know, how Cade Klubnik specifically is able to kind of respond to that. And, you know, it feels like the whole weight of the world's on the shoulders right now for the Tigers, but you got to find a way to be able to lock it back in. So, Chapel, sorry once again, we're going to bring you back in, having some tech difficulties early on the program. Do you feel like Clemson's going to find a way to get up off the mat and respond this weekend and to channel some of that energy for good?
That's the big question. All right, can you guys hear me right now?
Yes, we should be good.
Okay, yes. So I think that's the question against Tech, and I think I'll get a sense, and I feel like y'all will probably agree with this, probably within the first quarter of that game, I think we'll have a good sense of what type of game this is going to be. I've kind of been going back and forth between, this is a game where Clemson has been hearing a lot about, as Dabo said Tuesday, how much we suck, blah, 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 and maybe they just come out and take care of business. I think there's, you know, one reality where that happens. But I think the more likely reality is another, like, really big major test, this one on the road against a team that loves upsetting ranked ACC teams. I saw this in Tech's game notes. Under Brent Key, they are 6-1 against ranked ACC teams, which is just a ridiculous mark. I think two ranked wins 3 years in a row for the first time since the 50s for that team. So, like, they know what this stage is. Like, you've seen how they've conducted themselves this week, what all is going into that game on Saturday. Like, they're ready to go. So I think by the end of the first quarter, we'll kind of get a sense of, is Clemson going to pick itself back up off the mat, or is this kind of going to be like a fight for your lives, fight for your playoff lives atmosphere? Because Tech can definitely do that to them. They've done it to Miami last year and a bunch of other teams.
Continuing to visit with Chapel Fowler from the state here on a Wednesday morning, getting ready for Clemson and Georgia Tech. And, you know, on that note of Brent Key, obviously it goes without saying he has an intricate track record of pulling big-time upsets, as you mentioned, 6-1 against ranked ACC teams. But when you look at him in the press conference, he's usually somebody that's extremely talkative. Chapel, I'm not sure if you've seen the clips, but that was not the case yesterday. What did you make of Brent Key kind of going radio silent in his press conference, his weekly presser with the folks at GT, and giving a bunch of one- and two-word answers yesterday?
I did see that. One of the tech writers I follow tweeted something like, I think Brent Key just set a program record for shortest press conference. So, of course, I had to go check it out myself after that because I love any and all things sports media. I'm too obsessed with our industry. But, yeah, that was a strategy. I don't really know what I think of it. I'm not sure if he saw that as, like, a motivational factor or if, you know, there really wasn't a strategy to it. If he's really this week, like, he's just ramped up his own intensity to where he's so dialed in that the idea of, like, taking 5 minutes to preview the game with the media is just, like, disgusting to him. Like, that's five more minutes that could be spent on Clemson prep. I've never really seen a coach do that. You know, there's a lot of coaches that are famously gruff, like a Saban or a Belichick, that kind of inhabit that mindset for every presser. But I think it was, like, Larry Williams put up a, you know, really, I mean, Key's a funny dude. Like, at kickoff, I was talking with him in a scrum, and, like, he's hilarious. Like, you can really chop it up with that dude. That's, like, a all-time, like, go get a beer with him and hang out football coach. Total polar opposite this week. So I think the reaction has been kind of mixed from Tech fans from what I've seen. It could be genius. They could point to that as why it backfired. I think it's minor in the grand scheme of things, but yeah, definitely wasn't expecting that when I tuned in at noon yesterday to see what he had to say.
Yeah, Brent Key, the first question of the press conference was asking about Clemson. This was his entire answer. Yeah, they're a good football team and we're excited to play. That was, if you need any other information about the rest of the demeanor in that press conference, that's about exactly what it was from Coach Key. We're continuing to visit with Chapel Fowler from the state here on the program. So, Chapel, we've talked a lot of GT. We've talked their side of things. Let's talk Clemson's side of things. What did you make of Coach Sweeney's demeanor during his press conference yesterday on a Tuesday over at the Smart Family Media Center?
Yeah, I think kind of a continuation of last week where the general take away from it, at least, you know, this is the message he's putting out there, is y'all go prove it. You know, I think he's been really direct in criticizing a lot of players and coaches in ways that we haven't seen, at least that I haven't seen in a long time from covering them. And I think he does honestly believe that, like, what they showed against Troy, that there's some good vibes there, like what they did in the second half, those five consecutive scoring drives, and then the last drive they didn't score on was running out the clock. Like, that is an impressive showing from an offense that had really been stuck in the mud. So I get a lot of that, and I think there are, like, some good signs. Like, even if it took you a while to get rolling and really dominate a G5 team like you should, it's much better to do that than to be Florida, right, and lose to South Florida. So you saw on Saturday how much that final result of win or loss really matters for those games, regardless of what the score is at halftime. But I think fans are starting to roll their eyes a little bit at, you know, the promises of, you know, the plays are there, we just got to execute. That type of thing can fall on deaf ears when it's happening over and over. And two slow starts in a row, you know, I think that's the type of thing that can really doom you against Tech. I just imagine, you know, what if Clemson it was three and out in the first possession, and then Tech scores, and then Clemson's facing a third and long and a rocking Bobby Dodd with, like, I don't know, 6 minutes left in the first quarter, and they'd get sacked or get strip sacked or something inopportune happens. Like, how do you come back from that moment? Because this is not Troy. You know, this is kind of a giant killer in some ways, in an ACC dark horse. So I think his message is still prove it. And he knows and understands and admits, like, Clemson hasn't proven it yet. I think he was asked about their identity at some point yesterday on offense and said it's not good. Like, it's not good right now, I think was his quote, just being, like, honest with us. So prove it with an asterisk, I think, is kind of where I'm at right now with them, and I think that's what I heard from Dabo Tuesday also.
Yeah, starting to wrap things up here with Chapel Fowler from the State. Chapel, I want to ask you about proving it, and I want to ask you about somebody that Dabo has been openly critical as you alluded to, quarterback Cade Klubnik. He's got to play better. It's the worst-kept secret in town. It's obviously not all his fault, as the O-line's been pretty lackluster at times, and Clemson hasn't been able to necessarily get that run game established at the level you would hope. But what does two have to do better for Clemson to win this upcoming Saturday in Atlanta?
It feels crazy to say this for a senior quarterback and someone who's got all this first-round draft hype, but it's really, like, the little stuff. It's hitting the layups. It's staying true to the play call. It's not vacating the pocket, which, gosh, I remember Cade's first start against Tennessee in the Orange Bowl in 22. That was something that Dabo brought up post-game, and it really got onto him for a few times in that game. If you remember, I think he had a really inopportune, like, scramble where he just, like, ran out the clock at the end of the first half, and it was just an awareness thing, and you figure that would get better. But kind of the happy feet, that's something that's still, you know, by the coach's own accounts, is bothering him, and something that he's still kind of working on. So, you know, if you go back and look at the All-22s and the breakdowns, and, you know, there's a lot of plays where guys are springing open, but he's maybe just not getting to them because he's leaving the pocket a little early. And he's talked about that too, needing to improve on that. I think that can go a long way, because even without Antonio Williams, this is a very talented receiving core. I mean, they miss Williams a lot. Like, that guy's a pro receiver and really kind of makes that offense go. But between a Wesco, a Moore, a Brown, Tristan Smith got involved a little bit against Troy. Like, they have the dudes, you know, and those guys aren't running terrible routes on every play. So I think just patience and the little stuff from Cade is what needs to improve. But at the same time, that is kind of concerning from a season-long perspective if we're kind of focusing and harping on that with a guy who has that much experience, you know, this late in his career.
I think that's more than fair. Chapel, before we take our top of the hour break, where can our audience check out your content?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Twitter at Chapel Fowler, and all our Clemson and other South Carolina Gamecocks, et cetera, sports coverage is on thestate.com/sports.
Chapel does a great job. Really encourage you guys, give him the follow on Twitter and go check out his work as well on the beat. Chapel, appreciate your flexibility here this morning, brother, and appreciate you sticking with us. I'm looking forward to this weekend's matchup, and it should be a fun one.
Yeah, man. Thanks, y'all, for sticking with me. See you next time.
Of course. Thank you, Chapel. That is Chapel Fowler with the State. Seriously, go check him out at Chapel Fowler on Twitter, and you can check out his work at thestate.com as well. Does great work. Always asks great questions as well. A lot of people are always like, who's going to ask the hard-hitting questions? More times than not, that's Chapel with the people at the State. So really good job by him, as always, here today on the program. John, any major takeaways from our time with Chapel before we hop into another interview with former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker?
No, in a lot of agreement with what he had to say. I like the comments about Cade Klubnik and very much knowing of what he has to do to get better. And, you know, I think that's one of the big things is you have to process the coaching, and now can you actually go and apply it? That'll be one of the main things we're looking forward to on Saturday, but I don't think that Cade Klubnik is – exactly hiding or, you know, shying away from his faults in that game last Saturday.
Yeah, and Cade's somebody that's very, very self-aware, is something I picked up on throughout the course of the years, you know, covering Clemson in my various roles. So, you know, he knows what the problems are. He knows that the happy feet are an issue, as Chapel was alluding to. He knows he needs to stay in the pocket for longer when the pocket is clean, and he knows he needs to go through his progressions at a higher level. Cade's got to play better. Offensive line's got to do a better job of protecting him, and that's what we will be asking Landon Walker about to start the upcoming hour here on Facts on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.